This morning, if you would turn to the back of your bulletin, I'll be finishing up a continuation of my sermon series on the seed and the soil. I'm going to read for you, not the whole thing. We will begin at verse 3, where Jesus gives the parable. I'll read from 3 to 8, and then I will go all the way down to verse 18 and give you Jesus' explanation of the parable. If you have that, let us open with prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your infallible, inerrant word. So, Father God, we pray that we would hear a word from you, that you'd send your Spirit along and give us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts, as we will learn this morning, to continually receive your word. The Lord, the seed that is implanted in our heart will continue to grow deeply as we, as your people, continue to produce fruit in our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Beginning with verse 3. If you have glasses, put them on. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and he sowed. Some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. And other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seed fell upon or among thorns. The thorns grew up and choked them. Other seed fell on good soil and produced grain. Some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And then Jesus says, he who has an ear, let him hear. And now in verse 18, where Jesus interprets it for us, he says, hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what had been sown in the heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives the word with joy. Yet he had no root in himself, but endured for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke out the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word, understands it. He indeed will bear fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the word of God. Last Sunday I dealt with this parable, and we were talking about the place of the Word of God in the kingdom. I think I quoted for you from Romans. If I didn't, I quote it now, where it says faith comes from hearing. Faith there means saving faith. Saving faith comes from hearing, and hearing the Word of God. In light of that, we learn that one's reception of the Word is essential in order to get into heaven, so to speak. But is that enough? Is just hearing the word, is that enough in order for someone to get into heaven, to be saved? If that were the case, how many of you have ever shared God's word with someone who has resisted it? Am I the only one? You know, if sharing the word was the only thing you needed, guess what? This church would be packed. In fact, there would be nobody in Steubenville out. Everybody would be in church somewhere. Well, we know that's not the case. So what's up? Is something wrong with God's word? Well, we learned last week that the word of God is essential. However, in order to get into heaven, what is important is how we receive God's word. I told you last Sunday that this parable teaches that getting into heaven depends on the response of the Word of God, but how we respond to the Word of God depends on the condition of our hearts. So this morning I'm going to be preaching on the four different types of hearts. Just four. Four different types. And we will find that out of these hearts, three are resistant to the Word. Yet there's one type of heart that is open to the Word. You know, Jesus told us that few, not broad, but few will come. Broad is the way to destruction, but narrow is the road to life. And if you look at this parable, I think Jesus is teaching this. And you say to yourself, well, why is Jesus teaching in such a parable? Well, when Jesus started off his ministry, people showed up left and right. If Jesus had a church, within the first few months of his ministry, he'd have 1,000 people. But as time went on, fewer and fewer and fewer and fewer people were showing up to worship. And I'm sure people saying, what's up with this Jesus? What is going on? So Jesus backs up and he gives this parable. I think to explain why is it that in the beginning of Jesus' ministry, everybody was following, but by the time you get to the cross, how many people were at the cross following Christ? His mom and John. You know moms, they love their boys. So his mother was at the cross. John the Beloved was at the cross. Where were the disciples? Gone. Where was everyone else? Gone. Why? I believe it's a heart issue. So Jesus explains this. And he does it with these hearts. So this morning, let's look at these hearts. The first heart that Jesus talks about here in our text is the hard heart. Let us read it again. Look at verse 18. Hear then the parable of the sower. Jesus says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away in what was sown in the heart. This, he says, is what was sown along the path. Jesus here, he's taking this from the world of agriculture, of farmers. And as I shared last Sunday, farmers, when they would have a crop or wanted to grow a crop, they would take their seed and they would just disperse it indiscriminately. The term there is used for broadcasting. In fact, the word broadcast was first used in the world of agriculture before it was used in the world of broadcasting or radio. So they would broadcast the seed. And like it is, as you broadcast the seed, some seed would fall on ground that was hard. The reason why the ground was hard, because this is where people would stomp. There would be hard paths. And with this hardened path that the sun would bake, the seed would hit it. And what would happen when the seed would hit this ground? It wouldn't penetrate. It would just lay there. Have any of you ever sowed grass seed before on hard ground? What happens after a while? Those pesky birds show up, don't they? Birds show up and they eat the seed. So basically what you're doing is feeding birds. You're not really growing grass. Well, it's the same way here. Jesus depicts something that happens a lot. The seed falls on hard ground. It doesn't take, and then all of a sudden the birds come. Jesus, when he talks about this hard ground, he relates it to the spiritual condition of someone with a hard heart. Someone where the Word of God is preached from the pulpit or maybe in your life, where the Word goes out, but for some reason it falls on a hard heart where it just lays there. And what happens? Jesus describes it. He describes it as by way of where Satan comes. He describes him as the evil one that comes and eats up the seed. The seed doesn't take. Jesus is talking about people who just don't get it. People who are spiritually ignorant because their hearts are too pressed down, they're too dry, and they're too hardened. What hardens a heart? Sin. Sin. You know, if I went before a group of 1,000, 2,000, 10,000 people, if I asked first, how many of you from age, I don't know, from 5 to 10, stand up and let me know who believes in Jesus, you'd have a large crowd of people. Then if I would ask, how many of you from age somewhere in your teens to your 20s, stand up, is that the time that you follow Jesus? There'd be a large number there, but it would shrink. And by the time I get to the 30s and the 40s and 50s, and if I would ask, how many of you have received Christ from age, I don't know, 65 to 85, stand up. did you know there'd be fewer people? You know why? Because of sin. The longer we live without Christ, the more we sin. And what sin does in our hearts, it hardens us to the truth of God. You know, when the Bible describes people like that, it's not describing atheists. Usually it's describing religious people. In Jesus' day, these hard-hearted people were the Pharisees. They saw the miracles, and they still wouldn't believe. The Bible calls such people stiff-necked people. You ever heard of that term before in Scripture? Stiff-necked people. These are the people in Jesus' day, and they're people even today. I remember some years ago, when I was working construction, there was a gentleman who had been in prison for 20 years. And when he was put in prison, back in those days, prison was tough. It's tough today, but not like it was then. And he told me that he was put in prison over stealing something small. And what happened was, while in prison, he picked up more habits. And his couple of years ended up being 20 years in the penitentiary. So when I met, I'll call him Frank. When I met Frank, he had been out of prison for 20 years. And this time, he was probably in his late 50s. He had been clean, not in trouble. But I remember when I had given my life to Christ, I started evangelizing. I started preaching the gospel. I started sharing the gospel. And it wouldn't take. I remember thinking, man, what do I have to do? And I remember one day he looked at me. He says, Carl, in order for me to give my life to God and be serious, he says, I have to forgive my mother. Now, he didn't tell me what his mother did, but he refused to let go of the hatred that he had for whatever his mother had done. His mother was dead and gone by now. But this person, Frank, knew that he could not hold on to Jesus as well as hold on to hate that he had for his mother. Right then I realized, very early on, this man's heart was hardened. There was nothing I could do to break through. Jesus describes such people as hard-hearted. Secondly, Jesus describes people with shallow hearts. Shallow hearts. In verse 20, listen what Jesus says. As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word of God and immediately receives it with joy, yet it has no root in himself. But watch what it says here. But endures for a while. And when, watch, tribulation and persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. In Luke 8:13, which is a parallel passage to this, Luke says this as he describes the preaching of Jesus, where Jesus says, quote, and the one on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but these have no root. He says, they believe for a while and in time of testing. Interesting, Luke uses the term testing. They fall away. What is Jesus talking about? Jesus here describes the other heart as rocky here. Rocky soil here is really soil that is shallow. Shallow soil. In the ancient world, like our society, you know, have you ever been in terrain or mountain terrain where at the top of a mountain or on the edge of the mountain there's green grass that grows? But over time, as we have hot summers like this, that green grass turns what? Scorched and brown? Do you know why? Because the soil is thin. It's only 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 inches. Well, Jesus describes this. He says the farmer goes out and sows seed. Some seed hits the hard soil. Nothing. Other seed hits soft soil. It goes down, but the problem is it's too shallow. What happens when seed hits soil that is shallow? It brings forth foliage, but after a while, when the sun comes up, it withers away. Well, Jesus here, he uses this picture to describe people who have shallow hearts. People who have no root. People who have a rootless, shallow heart. A person who's not like the hard-hearted person. This person does receive God's word, And unlike the hard-hearted person, the shallow-hearted person hears the word, he understands the word, he receives the word for a season, but then something happens. It dies. All of a sudden, the lush greenery of an early spring, it endures for a while, it bleeds for a while. However, eventually it falls away. This is not like the hard-hearted unbelief, but Jesus is describing here the shallow, superficial belief, a shallow faith. A shallow-hearted person possesses faith, but they don't have saving faith. Faith that is not saving faith is faith that has knowledge, faith that holds on to truth, faith that has maybe conviction, but faith that doesn't have trust. You know, that's the difference between faith and saving faith. A shallow person is a person who believes in God, who has some conviction in God, but doesn't trust God when the going gets tough. A shallow convert starts off enthusiastic, but over time they peter off when trials come into their life. Things like a loss of a job, things like sickness, maybe a bad romance, maybe even a bad experience at church. I know a lot of people say, I can't stand the things of God because they tell me all the problems they had in church. They fall away. Their hearts turn from a lush green to a parched and shriveled heart. Years ago, when I was a kid, I was involved in a church that did outreach to criminals, people who were hooked on drugs, and people where their next stop would have been prison for 20 years. So this particular church we were part of would take in these guys. Many of these men and later on women were from like New York City. It's called New Life for Youth. And we would bring these guys in, and this ministry was related to David Wilkerson. And because the pastor at the time was friends with Wilkerson, and he used to be in the gangs with Nikki Cruz. And any of you know that crowd, you know what I'm talking about. And then we would bring in these guys. They would be pimps. They would be murderers, some of them, in the past. They just hadn't gotten caught. People with all type of backgrounds. And I would see these guys that would come in and they'd get excited for Jesus. They'd have an altar call. They would jump pews. This is a Pentecostal church, so they'd jump pews and speak in tongues. But then I would notice when they would graduate from these programs, they would go back into the world. And when the temptations came, guess what would happen? They'd go back into a life of crime, a life of drugs, a life of death. Why? Shallow faith. Shallow faith. They had enthusiasm, but they didn't have true saving faith. That's another heart. But Jesus is not done. He has a third heart. And this third heart Jesus describes is a heart that is mangled with weeds. I describe it as a strangled heart. Let me read what Jesus says in verse 22. He says this: "As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word of God, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and proves unfruitful." Did you catch that? Thirdly here, Jesus depicts hearts that are not like the hard hearts. They're not like the shallow hearts. Jesus here depicts hearts that are soil that is full of like weeds. Weeds that strangle and choke out the life of God's word. Notice that unlike the hard heart, and unlike the shallow heart, this strangled heart endures for a while. Notice, unlike the other two, this particular soil that has a lot of weeds, it produces fruit, but not to maturity. Any of you have a garden? Anyone? Any of you can raise some nice weeds? You know, tomatoes and beans, when they start coming up, but when you start to see weeds, what happens? The weeds take over. And after a while, as you start seeing more and more weeds, you start seeing fewer and fewer what? Fruit. And by the time fall comes around, you have no fruit when you have a harvest, what do you have? A harvest of weeds. And this is what Jesus uses to describe a person who has a strangled heart. Here, a strangled heart is a person who's preoccupied with the things of this world. We can call it a worldly Christian. This person is not like the hard-hearted person who's an unbeliever. This person is not like the shallow person who endures for a while. This is not the emotional person. This is a person who has impurities in their heart. There's impurities in the soil. Impurities like weeds and thorns. And here, the impurities are the things of the world. Things like pleasure. Things like worldly ambition. Things like prestige. You know, I do believe the most difficult test in life is not when things are going badly, but when things are going well. Brother and sister so-and-so stays in the church, involved in the things of God, until they hit the lottery. Then you're like, where are they? What happened? The things of the world. Why does that happen? It happens because corruptible man loves corruptible things. It happens because impure hearts love impure things. That's why. So Jesus describes people who leave because things are going too well for them. They're too busy for God. You say, Pastor, what are we left with? Hard hearts, shallow hearts, strangled hearts. Well, thank God, Jesus talks about good hearts. It's the good heart that receives the word. Now listen to what Christ says in verse 23. As for what was sown on the good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears, watch, fruit, and he yields. In one case, 100, another case, 60, and another, 30. Jesus here is describing, finally, last but not least, definitely, he's describing a good heart. And Jesus describes the good heart as like good soil. A good heart is like good soil. And just as good soil is soft, a good heart is soft to the things of God and open to the Word of God. Just as good soil is deep soil, allowing a very deep root system, likewise a good heart is a heart that is deep, deep enough to allow the Word of God to grow deep into them. And just as good soil is pure, likewise, a good heart is a heart that is pure. Not perfect. A pure heart here means focused on the things of God. Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart for what? They shall see God. In short, a good heart is a heart that receives God's word and receives the word of God. And you say, Pastor, how can I tell the difference between a good heart from a hard, shallow, strangled heart? As I look out right now, can you read my heart? You may try. Can I read your heart? You know what your heart is? It's the inner man. It's the spiritual man. And only God knows the heart. Yet Scripture does tell us that there's one way of knowing good hearts from hearts that are not good. And you know what they are? Fruit. Fruit. Some 100. Some 60. Some 30. Fruit. An abundance of fruit is essential in our lives. Why? Fruit, please get this. Fruit does not save us. But fruit is evidence of salvation. Fruit is evidence of a good heart. Fruit is evidence of a soil that's been regenerated. Fruit is evidence of a heart that is going through sanctification. Beloved, do you have any weeds in your hearts? Yes. Jesus is constantly uprooting the weeds. Every so often we like some of our weeds, don't we? Lord, don't take that. No, Lord, not that. He rips it out because He loves you, because He wants to see fruit. What are the fruit? The Bible tells us love, joy, peace, patience. Anybody patient? Patient, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Did you know in the Scripture, fruit of worship, fruit of your lips is fruit. What about fruit of bringing people to Christ? Do we have any soul winners here this morning? Any people we are trying to preach and share the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are there people in our lives where we are investing our lives in their lives? Or are we too concerned about our lives? Fruit, enduring fruit is essential because fruit makes the difference between being real in the faith versus being disingenuous. Because fruit makes that which is invisible visible to us. In conclusion this morning, I want you to get this. Please understand that when you teach or when you share the gospel to your friends or family or even your enemies, please understand that when you do that, understand that results will vary. Results will vary depending on the condition of a person's heart. You and I, as Christians, are not responsible for the outcome. Leave that to God. Because God can change hearts. You cannot. God calls you and me to be faithful. God calls us to let God be God. Just don't be ashamed of the gospel. You know, I had to learn this the hard way some years ago. I remember a man came into my office after he had cheated on his wife, put his wife and family through hell. And I remember when he came to me, he and his wife, and he wanted to make it right. He said that God had changed his heart. Did I believe him? Oh, no. He looked at me and says, "I can tell, Pastor, you don't like me." I said, "You're right, I don't like you." Now, he was a retired Army Ranger. As I said, he probably could break me in 100 different ways. I would put up a fight, but he'd probably get the best of me. But I didn't care. I didn't like him. My problem was, I was judging his heart. I was thinking, this guy's fake. However, I gave him a chance. I said, "All right, if you're real, I'll sit down with you every week, starting next month, and we'll see what happens." Now, I went into it to prove that he was fake. But lo and behold, something happened. I started teaching him, discipling him. And then I realized it's taking. I started seeing fruit. Fruit and fruit and more fruit. His father-in-law came to me one day and says, "Is he for real?" I said, "Yes, he's for real. This is the real thing." Beloved, what did that teach me? It taught me what it should teach all of us. Don't judge anyone. You really don't know what God is doing in a person's heart. Just be faithful. I almost threw that away. I was almost going to delegate him or relegate him to someone else. "Here, you take him. I don't want him." But God gave me the privilege to disciple this man. And to this day, we are great friends. He still calls me every so often. He studies Calvin and all this advanced theology. His wife calls him a mini-me sometimes. But it's amazing what God has done in his heart. So, beloved, only God can plow. And only God can prepare a heart to receive his word. Only God can soften a hard heart. Only God can uproot the weeds in your life. And only God can remove your stony heart and give you a heart of flesh. If God is moving on you this morning, my word to you is to receive him now. For today is the day of salvation. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your love for us. We thank you, Lord, if it wasn't for the movement of your Spirit on our lives, that all of us here this morning would have either hard hearts, shallow, or strangled hearts. Because at one time, Father, we probably had all three. But we thank you, Lord, that we have good hearts, not because we are good, but because of the work of your Holy Spirit, that good work in our lives. So, Father, we pray that you'd continue to use us. We pray that as individuals and as a church, you would increase our fruit in our lives. That, Father, that we would be faithful to you, that we would let you be God, and we would be just faithful sowers of the word. So, Father, we thank you, and we give you praise always. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.